CBS people and all them just coming today and just putting it together and letting your Holy Spirit work through them and just preparing the way. Thank you for Bob and for the job that he does of just showing us who you are through communion and what an important task that is. We just love you, and we ask these next few minutes that you would just open our ears, our spirits to you, to what you want to do in us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're in a series called Tend to Your Fire. Today I'm going to stop it. This will be our last day, and I've been talking about what it means to tend to your fire and how important fire is and the importance of what fire is in our life. And I want to tell you a story that kind of made me think about this whole series, the Tending Your Fire thing, because it really set a lot of foundational things for me in my life when I was a young boy. When I was 12 years old, it was 1968, and you can do the math, it doesn't matter. I was 12 years old, and I was going to a little church in Connersville called the Grandview Christian Church. And I'll never forget that my youth leader said, "Hey, looking for some people that really like the outdoors, that's me, that really like to hike and run and just be outdoors and catch." I'm like, that's me. And so me and a friend of mine, we signed up for this thing that we had no idea what we were getting into. And we ended up with, they told us to bring seven things. And I forget what all the seven things were, but they were very basic. Fishing line, fire starter, blah, blah, blah. For 10 days, we were going to go on this adventure of a lifetime. So I get there, and they pick us up in the van, and they drive us from Connersville, Indiana, to all the way over in Ohio somewhere in this big wilderness area. And it's just incredibly, just nothing but woods and these incredible creeks. And I say creek, it's like a river. And it's beautiful, just beautiful. And our leader, Rod Beeler, I'll never forget his name. He taught me so much about life those 10 days. He said, "We're going to survive out here for 10 days. And I was looking around, and they dropped us off in the van, and I'm looking, where's the tents, and where's the food, and there's nothing. And he says, "I'm going to teach you how to live outdoors." All right, this is interesting. I didn't even know it. He said wilderness, but I'm thinking, you know, there's going to be some comforts, you know, but there was no comfort. So we get there, and the very first day, he says, "What you're going to eat tonight, you've got to take care of, and you've got to figure out how to get it. And then you got to figure out how to cook it because you probably don't want to do it raw." And so he began to teach us all the different things that we could do and then to see how our fire could go. And then, of course, we had to build shelters and all those other things. And those things were, they didn't come natural and because it was the first time I'd ever done that. I'd done a lot of stuff like that down at Blooming Grove where the camp is now. But it was with my buddies and we would take tarps and we'd be out one night, not 10. First couple nights it rained. Rained and rained. It was miserable. I was wet, and I went in there. I remember the first morning I get up, and I'm sitting there. We couldn't get the fire going, no fire. And the guy, you know, it's so important that you tend to your fire, that you start a fire, that you tend a fire. Don't care. I understand, I get it, but we couldn't get it going. First morning to go out to kind of get the slime off of me because it's just slimy and a mess. I get in the creek, and I got these. I look, and there's these bloodsuckers all over me. It just everywhere, and I'm like, what did I sign myself up for? I don't want to do this. I quit. And so I went to Rod and I said, "Rod, I want to stop. I want to go home. I hate it here. It was a day and a half, and I'm done. I'm ready to go home." And I love being outdoors, but I hated where I was at that time. I hated it, and I was ready to give up. He said, "Well, all I want you to do is I want you to pray, and I want you to go back. And I just want you to go find some spot. I want you to ask God what he thinks you should do." And I said, "Well, I think he thinks I should go home, you know. I already told you, that's what I want to do." "No, what does God want you to do?" "All right." So I did. I thought, well, I'll tough it out for a little bit, see what happens. So I go back, and I go back, and the next 8 days were incredible. And I learned so many things about taking care of myself and being sustainable and being able to take care of yourself and making bowls and making spears and making these things that we could take and that we could kill rabbits with and turkey. And one day we actually all killed a turkey. It was incredible. It was incredible. And we did it by doing it with a stick. We had nothing. We had to create everything we did. But I'll never forget how I felt that day I wanted to give up. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, about tending your fire. A lot of us, we put in the effort and we sign up for something. We sign up for the Christian life and say, yeah, okay, I can do that. That's me. I want a Savior. Yeah. I want a Lord. And we get in it for a minute, and then it's just like it's kind of restrictive, and it just doesn't fit well, and I just want to give up. And I want to talk to those people today that are in that place in your life, because it's so easy in this life that we live today to be Christians to give up on. When I'm talking about giving up, I'm talking about giving up on the things that get us to where God wants us to be. And those things don't come naturally. Those things don't just come out of the cloud. Those things are things that come by consistency. They come by making the small little details every day of our life. Every day of that camp out that I was there in those 10 days, we would hike 8 miles, 8 or 9 miles into a new camp. So we had to do new shelter. And it's like you couldn't get comfortable. Every day I learned something new. I learned a new technique. I learned a new thing to do. And so I want to challenge you today, if you don't hear anything else I say, I want you to really hone in on this thing about never giving up, because it's so easy to do that. This, you know, the last 2 years, two, three years around America has been a tumultuous time, at least. Politically, our climate has been so charged. We have gone through the thing that, you know, we shut down and now there's this war, and just every day there's something else, and they're bombing and they're killing kids, and you get so over-focused on these things, and you say, I don't know if this Christianity thing works. I know there's a God, I think there's a God, but man, just doesn't seem like he's doing much right now. So today, that's really where we want to start, and I think if you really think about people who are doing well today in this system, people who are doing well are people who are consistent, people who do the small things day in, day out, no matter what's going on. When I was growing up, I really began to think that people who were very good athletes, that people who were rich, that people who had great things, I began to think, you know, they're really lucky. And over time, as I got older and older and older, what I found was it wasn't that what the case at all. It wasn't. These people knew what the details were to get to the next step. They knew how to start with this and work their way to something else. It's consistent moves on a regular day, consistent actions that say to our system, I'm going to be okay no matter what's going on. In some area of our life, there's got to be consistency. There's got to be persistence, because successful people who do these things consistently do what others of us do occasionally. Let me say that again. People that are very out there in whatever field they're doing, and they're doing it well, they do it consistently and persistently when the rest of us tend to do it occasionally. And then those of us that do it occasionally, we look at those that are doing that, and what happens to us? We get a little jealous. Oh, why is that happening to them and not me? Why them and not me? So I've seen that it's so important to get a hold of this. I've never seen someone that accidentally paid off a ton of debt. I'd never say, oh, look, I'm out of debt. Yay. Didn't just happen. Hardly ever. The same is true with marriage. I don't know anybody who says, hey, I just woke up one day and had a great marriage. Doesn't happen. I don't know anybody who's ever said that. All I've ever heard is people say, marriage is hard, but I'm going to work at it, and I'm going to continue to do it. We're going to continue to do these small things every day. I don't know anybody who said I accidentally got close to God. Nobody. Nobody do I know that says, oh, I really honed into God, and God and I are just like this, and it just happened one day. We all want, I've been saying this the last 2 weeks, and so I want to keep branding in on what I'm saying here. Remember that all of us, we want similar things. We all have very different results when we get them. We tend to go out there and we hope for something, and we want something good to happen, but if we're not cooperating with the Lord in the Spirit, what happens is we get frustrated and we tend to want to give up. In other words, if you just keep doing whatever you've been doing, you're going to go on getting whatever you've been getting. Can't say it any easier than that. If you've been putting in, you know, let's say you're an athlete here, and you've been, whatever it is you're putting in, pretty much you're going to get out. If you're not putting it all in, you're not going to get it all out. So important. And it's always as a result, those people who tend to be the incredible people in our world today, they are consistent and they make small decisions over a course of time, while the rest of us just kind of do it every once in a while. So if you're like me, a lot of people, we tend to get frustrated. And that's why the title of my message today is Never, Ever, Ever Give Up. Never, ever, ever, ever give up, no matter how tough it gets. Galatians says this, Galatians 6, 7, 8, and 9. I'm going to spend a lot of our time on this verse today. I always like to take a verse and just really work in on it, especially with this series. It says this, Galatians 6, 7, 8, 9. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. A woman reaps what she sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Then he says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we do not give up. There is so much in this. And so I want to tear into that today. Let's look at the very first thing he said. He said, do not be deceived. If you go back to the Greek basically says this. It says, don't be tricked. Don't be led astray that there's some pill that you can take that's going to make it all incredibly better, incredibly richer, incredibly more healthy, whatever it is. If it says that, it's a lie. It's a lie. And then he goes on, he says, God can't be mocked. God can't be mocked. And he gives us this law. And there's three really big laws that we're going to talk about in this, but he gives us a law, and it's a law that's so important. He says, a man reaps what he sows, and whoever sows to please their flesh, what happens? Whoever does what's wrong and godly and sinful, you sow bad things, you get a bad result. You got to understand that today. If things are bad in your life, a lot of it's because of what you've been sowing, because of what you've been putting in the soil. Then he goes on, but whoever sows to please the Spirit does what's God-honoring, and the Spirit will reap eternal life. Paul says, let us become weary. Let's don't be weary in doing good. And how many of us are weary of doing good? How many of you are just like, I don't want to do nothing nice for nobody because nobody's doing nothing nice for me. You're tired. You're ready to give up. I don't want to do anything nice. Well, when's the last time anybody ever thought about me? When's the last time somebody put me first on their list? How many moms think that? You think, oh, my kids, all they want is they got their hands out. Mom, Dad, do this, give me this, give me that. Just wants to be nice. Just wants to be nice if they'd come around. Don't become weary in doing good, because we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. If we don't give up. There's three rules I see in this. Here it is. Let's go over them, and I'm going to walk right through them, and then we'll be done. Three rules. First law is this. You got it already. You reap what you sow. In other words, whatever you plant, you're going to reap that type of harvest. You put in corn, you get corn. You put in beans, you get beans. You put in crap, you get crap. Right? I mean, can you argue with that? No. Law number one. Law number two, you reap more than you sow. Man, that's a good one. See, when you put a seed in the ground, you get more fruit out of the seed that you put in the ground. More comes back than you put in. Get that? more comes out at you than that you put in. And the third law is you reap after you sow. You reap after you sow. You got to sow first. So if you're not sowing, don't expect a harvest. If you're not putting anything in, don't expect a harvest. And this goes for every area of your life. Every area. God is calling some of you today to grab onto some of these laws and to understand that's why some of your lives are kind of like this. Up and down and up and down and all over the place. Because you're reaping what you're sowing, or you're not sowing anything at all, or you're sowing crap. Let's look at number one. Let's go that and tear that apart just a little bit, because I think we got to get this to move forward. We need to understand that you reap what you sow. What does that mean? Paul said, paraphrasing, he says, if you plant bad seeds, you're going to get a harvest of destruction. If you plant godly seeds, you're going to get a godly harvest. That's tending your fire. Over time, you'll have a godly harvest. In fact, in the Old Testament, Hosea 10:13 says this very, very clear. He pulls no bones about it. He says, but you have planted wickedness. You planted wickedness. In other words, you've done things that are ungodly. You've sinned. And because of what you planted, what have you reaped? Not good things at all. Things that are not good at all. Why would you ever expect to reap something good from the wrong thing that you planted? Let's spell this out a little bit. You're at work, and you go to work, and you show up late a lot, and you don't do all your work, and you expect to get taken care of, and expect your supervisor or your boss to say, doing good, keep going, and get a raise, and maybe get a promotion. No, you've reaped what you sow. That's not that you're getting bad stuff. You're putting bad stuff in the ground. You're putting bad stuff in the ground. It's so important to get a hold of this. If you're lustful and you're selfish, and maybe you're that person that likes to binge on porn, and you're using people in your life, and you're hoping to have a godly marriage, or you're hoping for a godly spouse, could be because you're reaping a harvest from the seeds that were sown in your marriage or in your relationship. Don't expect something good when there's nothing good being put in the ground. It's not going to come back out. Oh, I married a clinker. Okay, what are you doing about it? Are you planting anything? Are you lifting that other person up? Are you taking that person and mentoring them and loving them more than you love yourself? Or are you just out to get yours? I need you to think about this today. See, that's not a punishment when you got bad things going on in your life. That could be a harvest. You get it? You understand where I'm going with this? It's a punishment. It's not a harvest. So the big principle here this morning, if you want to write anything down, you can write this down. If you don't like what you're reaping, change what you're sowing. If you don't like what you're reaping, change what you're sowing. Change what you're putting in to that person. Change what you're putting into your job. Change what you're doing. Do something, and it has to come through what God does through us. It can't come from you trying harder. We talked about that last week. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And if you don't like the harvest, change the seed. If you don't like the harvest, if you don't like what you're getting back, change the seed. Change what you're sowing. So this morning, foreshadowing what Bob said, Pastor Jeff, I always ask you an assignment. Here's your assignment for this week. I want you to think of one area that you believe that God wants you to start being consistent and precise in your life. Think about that right now. I'm going to give you a second. I'm not going to talk. I'm just going to let you and God ruminate for a second. What's that area that God is asking you to be more consistent and precise in? Just one. Don't go for 10 because you all got 10 or 20, but don't go for the 10. Just go for one. One. I believe you all got it. It might be for you, I need to spend more time in God's Word. It might be generosity. It might be a godly attitude, an attitude that everybody in the room knows that you don't come in raining junk on top of everybody. Oh, my life is this. My life is, I hate this gas price, the president, this, that, this, this. Pick one area. Pick one area. Plant the right type of seeds and believe that God will bring the right type of harvest. You want to be a better athlete? Do something about it. You want to be a better dad? Do something about it. Plant different seed. Second thing is you reap more than you sow. You reap more than you sow every time. Mark 4, Jesus tells about this passage. You know the passage. You could come up here and teach it by heart. Mark 4, there's this farmer, and he's got this little sack, and the story goes he's out sowing the seed on different kinds of soil. Some fell on the rocky ground, some fell on the thorn, some fell on the good soil, and produced this amazing harvest. The other two soils, not so much. The seed that fell on the good soil, the Bible says, represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest from one seed. That means people who understand that they gotta sow what they're going to reap. It's not your parents' place to do that. It's not your boss's place to do that. It is not the church's place to get you in a place where you need to be spiritually. It is your place. I just help. Your life groups help. Serving others, help. Praying helps. It's all part of the process. It's small, smart choices, plus consistency, plus time equals a radical difference. You want to be a radical person in some area of your life? Small, smart choices led by God, consistency, and what a difference that time makes when we're using it wisely. See, when we do the small things right, God brings the rain, God produces the harvest. Why? Why does he do that? Because it's not what we do occasionally that makes a difference. I read my Bible last month. It's not what we do occasionally. I went to church last month once. Might have watched a little bit online for 5 seconds. See, it's not what you're reaping. You got to change what you're sowing. You got to change what you're putting in. What is one area of your life that you need to be more consistent, that God is calling you this morning and saying, wake up. Lastly, you reap after you sow, the last law. You reap after you sow. Let's talk about that. Reaping in a different season is hard. I remember being a farmer's kid. I was a farmer's kid. My dad and my grandpa both farmed about 900 acres, and they were so frustrated. I remember the frustration. My grandpa and my dad were the two most laid-back guys in the world, but they were frustrated after they got their seed in because there were so many variables that happened between the time they got the ground ready, by the time they put the stuff in the ground, by the time they fertilized it, and by the time they had to rely on God completely for everything. Every year, there was this major frustration. Tractor broke down. Combine broke down. Oh no, what are we going to do? No rain, no sun, too much snow, too little. All these variables, they were so frustrated. You got to plant in the fall, and you got to wait till spring. And you know what happens? We get discouraged, right? We do. We get discouraged when some guy stands up and talks about any change in your area of any life. You're going, I've tried that. I've tried to lose weight. I've tried to do finances. Let me prove it out to you. I remember when Brenda and I woke up one day several years ago. Nobody ever taught us about finances when we were young. Nobody. We just did it all. We're going to rely on God. God's going to bring the harvest. And we woke up one day $20,000 in debt. Plus, we signed a bunch of loans for our kids. We go, what in the world are we going to do? Well, first question was wrong because it wasn't what we were going to do, but it's what's God going to do. And so we buckled down that first month. We're not eating out. So $20,000 debt. At the end of the month, we go look at the ledger. We're $19,906, better towards our debt. And we didn't get to go out to eat. Dang. That's frustrating. So you know what we did a lot of times? We just quit. Some guy says, hey, you need to tithe. Okay, I tried tithing for a little bit. I tried putting my money in. Where's it going? I ain't got enough for the rest. And so my trust began to wane a little bit. It's what we do for a little while, and we can't give up. Can't stop. Because we got to go back to what we talked about the last 2 weeks. You got to remember whose you are. You belong to Christ. Either you belong to Him, either you're a son or His daughter, you're a son or a daughter of the King, or you're not. So who are you? You're a son and a daughter of the King. We belong to Christ. We have the same inheritance as Jesus Christ. Everything that is Jesus is ours. Even the angels don't get what we get. We've learned the last couple weeks about tending our fire. The first week we got together, we remembered that we all want the same thing similarly. We want a decent life. We want our kids to grow up and to be who they are. We want to have some health. We don't want to be 80 and falling apart, or 70 or 40 and falling apart. We don't want to be that. We want to be those people that are viable, that make a difference, that they're there for our kids, that are there for our grandkids, that can do the stuff that we want to do. But yet many of us, we find ourselves in a place where we're not able to do those things because we haven't been consistent. And so we get on that crazy cycle that we talked about that first week. We hone in, we bear down, we give up, we start all over again, and we do the same thing over again day after day. But we learn, because we're in Christ that week, that the Spirit gives us strength not to do that anymore. The Spirit, when we walk in the Spirit, it gives us that strength to do the right things consistently, time after time after time. So because we know who we are and we know what to do, because we know that, we're not trying. That was last week. We're training. See, I'm not trying to be a better husband. I'm training to be a better husband. That revolutionizes your life when you begin to understand that. You are not a loser because you don't do all the things that you're supposed to be doing in your relationship. You are in training. And if you just say things like, I'm trying, that means there's a possibility for you to quit and to stop and to not do it anymore. But if you're in training, you can pick it up wherever you are. And it is not just words. It's what the Word tells us time and time again. That we have to stop trying and train our bodies. We're becoming more of who He created us to be today than we were yesterday. And if you can look at your life today and look back at yesterday, and if you're just this much better, I don't have anything between my fingers there that you can't see. If you're even this much better today than you were yesterday, then you're in training. I only walked a mile. Doesn't matter. There's days you don't walk any. So if you walked a mile, dang good. Yeah. You understand? We beat ourselves up. And the devil comes in, and he gets in our head. By the way, we're going to talk about that the next couple weeks. We're going to talk about the fight. The fight that goes on up here. The fight for your mind. It's so important that we are able to tell and cast back to that thought and say, thought be gone, devil be gone. So by his Holy Spirit, he helps us to choose what we want most over what we want now. Because that's where we get in trouble. We all want we're willing to give up the orchard for a stupid apple because the apple looks good today. Chomp, and there goes your marriage, some other lady. And you gave up the whole orchard. The whole orchard for one apple. How stupid is that? So here's how we judge success in this arena. Here's how we judge success in light of what Paul is saying here. We judge it by the seeds that we sow. Did I honor God today? There's a wonderful platitude to memorize today. Did I honor God today? Did I honor him with my body? Did I honor him by the things I let in my eyes? Did I honor him by the things I let in my ears? Some of you teenagers, you got to be careful there. The stuff you're listening to, man, bad mamma jamma. The stuff that you let into your ears. Whoo! Some of us adults, some of the stuff we let into our eyes. Bad mamma jamma. Now teenagers, reach over to your kids, your dad, mom, and say, Mom, Dad, that's you. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked, church. And we are mocking God when we're taking God to places he never meant to go. You are the most holy place on the earth. And if you take God to a porn fest, if you take God to a place that he shouldn't go, you are mocking God. You are mocking him. You were never meant to say some of the things that come out of your mouth. You're mocking God. God cannot be mocked. But he is by his own kids every day. Because you say, I know better. Because the world tells me I'm okay. The world says it's great to get on TikTok and do this and do these horrible dances and these skinny little nothings and, oh, look at that, what the heck? I can't dance and I never will. If you never give up, if you never, ever, ever give up, God will bring a harvest if you don't give up. So one day you're going to wake up and your marriage is better than you ever thought possible. And you look around at some other marriages and go, man, they're really struggling. We're struggling, but we're getting through it. One day you're going to wake up and there's a 30-pound difference between you and your buddy because you put in the right things. One day you wake up and you realize you're debt-free and you can really do the things you want to do, not just the things you want to do, but the things God wants you to do. The things that you're spending your money on right now, God's saying to you, hey, how about the church? How about my kingdom? We get our tax check, first thing we think about, what are we buying new? Am I going to tithe off of that? No, that's my tax money. Okay. Here's what you need to know. When you do these things, your friends might never see it because it's always the small things that no one sees that lead to the big results for everybody else. They won't see you overcoming. They won't see your self-doubt. They won't see your insecurities. They won't see you confessing your sins every time. They won't see the early mornings or the late nights. They won't see the enduring criticism or showing back up in the heat of grace when somebody has wronged you. You come back and say, let's work this out. I forgive you. Will you forgive me? A lot of you have got bones to pick with other people, and you've got to drop those bones. They're holding you hostage today. If you're not forgiving, you have been forgiven so much. Who in the world has hurt you that much that you can't forgive? That's why I came to tell someone today that you're going to reap a harvest of righteousness if you don't give up. I don't know who this is for. I don't know who it's for, but today I've been praying all week for somebody in this room. All day for somebody online today. Don't quit. Don't stop believing. Don't ever, ever give up. Pick one of these things that we've talked about today. grab onto it and give it to God and see what God, I can't, see what God will do. Why go home and be the same person than when you came in here today? Why the heck did you come if you're not willing to put in some of the time and the consistency and the small things? Because then you reap the larger things. If I go back in my life and I think about hearing a message like I just heard this morning, I would think, yeah, I deserve a lot of bad harvest. And I think some of you probably are to that point today. I hope you are. I hope you think, boy, there's a lot of bad harvest because of the stuff I've done. So many things that I've done wrong. But I want to tell you one area of your life where this law doesn't apply, these laws. And it's the most special area of your life. This area of your life is where you actually get on something, you get what you don't deserve. The Bible calls that grace. It calls that grace. You come to God and you give him your life and he gives you what you don't deserve. We call that salvation. And there's some of you that need that salvation for the first time. There's some of you today need to come and say, I'm going to give my life to Christ. I've never fully done that. There's some of you today that have taken your life back. You gave it to Christ, but you've got it back. And you go, I'm not giving it. Oh, you don't get that part. You're not getting my money. You're not getting my time. You're not getting my thought. You're not getting this. No, this is mine. God might want to do some business with you today. On Easter Sunday, we're going to have a baptismal service, and I'm hoping for 10, 15 people to get baptized. I think there's a lot of people that need to get immersed that never have been. Well, I don't want to get in front of people. Pride. I don't want to do it. Yeah, doesn't matter what you want. God is calling some people today to start that relationship with him. Let's pray as the band comes. Jesus, I pray today for the church, your family, here and all over the world. I pray, God, that we'll begin to take seriously the call that you've got on our lives, the call to live for you every day, the call to set back ourselves, to put ourselves in back and put you in front every day. God, I know there's people in this room, I know there's people online that have considered saying, I'm just not doing this church thing anymore, I'm not going to go, I don't care. Nothing ever happens to me when I go. All I do is listen to that guy and nothing goes on. God, I want to confess today, I know I got nothing, but I know you do. I know that my words are so hollow, but I know your word is powerful. And you've shown us this morning what it means to reap and to sow. You've shown us that if we want harvest, that we have to sow the right kind of things and we have to trust you for the results. So God, if there's just one person in here today that you want to just zoom in and touch, that you want to zoom in and transform and change, do that. But God, I pray you begin with me today. I pray that you take my old thoughts, my old actions, and you conform them to the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for these people, for many who are willing to lay their lives down. But God, I know there's many that haven't done that yet. They've taken them back and they said, I know better. I don't need church. I don't need to go to groups. I don't need to help people. I don't need to give my money. I don't need to serve others. I don't need to go on mission. I don't need to. No. God, you are using this church in so many ways. We're such a small little dot on the plane of history. But God, kind of like that fire the other day up in Avon, I believe that in the heavenlies, You see us all up way up there. You see people getting saved. You see people that are given food. You see people that are coming alongside others that are hurting. You see people that are doing things that are praying. You see, God, you see, and those things are huge. So, God, we just pray. And if there's someone here today that's considering giving up, that you would touch them. There's one here today that needs you for the first time. God, let them know for sure today that you want to meet them. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As the lights go out, how we do this, our ministry time, is you have a couple different options. You can just stay in your seat right where you are. Make some choices. I challenge you with an assignment today. Maybe you can think about that. Maybe you can pray for somebody else if you're good in every area. I hope that's not the case. Or if you need to make that choice, pray about it and talk to us afterwards. There's what we call the altar up here. If you want to come to the altar and you want to just lay all of your burdens at the altar, you can do that. Or if you want to go to the prayer room, you can do that today. I believe God wants to do a work these next 2 or 3 minutes as we sing this song. This isn't a song to close the church. This is a song to open up what God wants to do in your life today. Let's see what happens.
Glory in creation, glory.
What a powerful name it is. It's been good to be with you this morning. My prayer for you today is that you will take the seriousness of what God is calling us to do. Not me, but God is calling us. He's calling his church. If you're disappointed in the church, remember, you are the church. If you're disappointed in the way the church has treated you or treated others, treated people you know, understand the church is very fallible. The church hurts people all the time. The church is only as strong as we let Jesus be in us. Yeah, we're going to say wrong things. We're going to do wrong things to each other. We're going to hurt each other. We're not going to always do what we're supposed to do. But God is calling the church to never give up. Never give up. And to continue to serve and to continue to go where God wants us to go. And I just see so many people in our body here that have stepped out and said, I'm going to do this. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll do it. I'm here, and God use me. And that's all the Bible ever asks for. That's all Jesus ever asked. That's all God ever asked us to do, was to take our little, and he'll make a lot out of it. Let's pray. Jesus, I just pray that you'll do a work this morning as we leave this place. I thank you for worship. Thank you for communion, that we can remember what your son did on the cross. But God, it is so important. It is so important that we get about the business that you have for us. Time is not guaranteed to any of us. None of us in this room are guaranteed tomorrow. None of us in this world are guaranteed tomorrow, God. It could all be over. And so, God, help us to get serious about people who love you, people who don't know you, and about ourselves, about our walk with you. May our walk be stronger, deeper, kinder, because of what your Holy Spirit, and we allow your Holy Spirit to do in us. As we tend to the fire, taking care of what you've given us.